How powerful and wealthy really is the Vatican? If you look online, some estimates will say just $1 billion, which is a really laughable figure. Over 2,000 years of Catholic history, wealth, knowledge, secrets, assets, and influence over the hearts and minds of over a billion people. It's clear the Vatican's wealth and power is enormous. And yet at the same time, nobody really knows anything about the Vatican. Its criminally convicted workers are exempt from any form of extradition. Its secret library of knowledge, one of the biggest in the world, is completely hidden away. And all of this wealth and knowledge is concentrated in the hands of a few who just want to keep it this way, so that nobody ever really knows what this tiny country is hiding, or even asks any questions as to how powerful this country really is. Which is why in this video we're going to try and figure out just how powerful and wealthy the Vatican really is. Now, while the Vatican is one of the most powerful countries in the world, Vatican City has one of the most controversial histories, and it's made even worse because it's the focal point of one of the most popular religions in the world. The Vatican began during the throes of the Renaissance, when the Roman Catholic Church and the faith it governed had become such an integral part of life that it had grown a huge amount of political influence in Europe. Its religious power was extraordinary, and as the church became more and more popular, it needed a more stable source of income. And throughout the Papal States, the priests began to sell trinkets and tickets known as indulgences, which they claimed would excuse their congregation's sins. The worse your sin, the more expensive the indulgence. All of this became normal after the Black Death, when suddenly there was such a scarcity in priests and money that they had to almost operate the Catholic Church like a business. While it did prove to be a great source of income, it would ultimately hurt the Vatican's finances as it inspired Martin Luther's cry and subsequent movement for Reformation. Things quickly went from bad to worse when French forces invaded Rome and almost brought the Roman Catholic Church to an end. While it survived years of turmoil with the French, when the church came out the other side, it was desperate for funding and looked for it in a rather controversial place, the Rothschilds, a banking family often seen to control the world through money and playing governments against each other. While traditionalists rejected help from Christ killers, the huge amounts of money the Rothschilds lent the Vatican allowed them to start accumulating vast amounts of wealth by investing in real estate across Rome and other assets. And soon the Papal States had become incredibly powerful. The Vatican was stacked with Michelangelo's art, Raphael's art. The Sistine Chapel was extraordinary, and it was a sign of the true enormous wealth of the Vatican. But nobody ever really knew the true extent of the Vatican's wealth. And on the surface, it didn't seem like they were that rich, at least to some, because during World War I, no one could afford to make donations to the Vatican. And what made it even worse was that Italy itself was declaring war against Germany, forcing the Vatican to take sides in a war and put their newly acquired assets in danger. This video is sponsored by Cryptomus. Cryptomus is a multifunctional platform designed for both business and personal use. In personal wallets, you can store your cryptocurrency in one place, keep it secure, and enjoy fast transactions. You can cancel the withdrawal within 2 minutes, which is really great if you want to avoid any mistakes when transferring funds. You can also receive 0.1 to 0.4% cashback for using the Cryptomus wallet when paying invoices. And on top of this, you can use crypto staking in Cryptomus wallet and earn passive income, where you can earn up to 20% APR on TRX staking. You can also stake cryptocurrency like USDT, Ethereum, BNB, and DAI. And by using their convert feature, they allow you to exchange one of your cryptocurrencies for another, and there is no commission charge on the convert function, so you can convert the available crypto on the platform without any additional fees. And with their P2P cryptocurrency exchange platform, they allow you to trade cryptocurrencies directly with each other without the need for a third-party intermediary. On the P2P exchange, you can buy or sell cryptocurrency for fiat funds like dollars, euros, etc., and the commission is only 0.2%, 0.1% from the buyer, and 0.1% from the seller. And with their referral program, they allow you to receive 30% of the payment fee and 50% of the commission for the P2P transactions of your referred users, which is a great feature if you want to increase your passive income opportunities. And one of the best things about Cryptomus is that they have so many great features that are really useful for any online business. For instance, White Label allows you to put your branding on all payment processing, fiat payment if you don't have any cryptocurrency, and crypto processing helps you create your own processing features, and mass payouts are necessary for making all transactions in a single session. And you can also check them out today in the application format. Using your personal and business wallet is even easier with an iOS app. And you can download and try the Cryptomus application just by following the link in the description below, as all the links for Cryptomus will be in the description and the pinned comment for this video. Desperate for funding, the church decided to rent out property in Rome to an arms manufacturer who just so happened to be selling weapons to Germany, meaning the Vatican was indirectly aiding the other side. Information many Catholics weren't too pleased to hear. The Vatican tried to deny knowledge of the situation, but the damage was already done in its reputation, and this was one of the first major blows in recent history towards the Vatican and the wider Catholic Church. And then by 1933, 4 years after Mussolini had declared Vatican City its own country, instead of just the Papal States, the church had shrank to enormous proportions. Having been one of the most powerful forces in Europe and the world, it was now just a tiny little area within Rome, with only the Sistine Chapel and St. Peter's Basilica being left. At least that's what it seemed. On the surface, the Vatican was losing 100 million lire a year, but the Great Depression had caused its assets value to depreciate by 30%, although it was hard to ever work out the real assets of the Vatican. But then Bernardino Nogara, a financial genius with no fear of risk-taking, would transform the Vatican and its power forever. While the Vatican City had received a huge amount of money in the split from Italy, it still ran the risk of going bankrupt, as the only things it had was knowledge and religious power, along with a bunch of assets that weren't making them enough money, at least compared to their previous glory. So Bernardino encouraged the Pope to declare 1933 a holy year as a way to boost donations and grant him the funds he needed to keep the church afloat, and his efforts paid off, and by 1936 the Vatican had avoided another financial collapse. While the Vatican was now stable, it was quickly growing irritated with the lack of freedom it had. Having been Papal States with a bunch of enormous influence, and the Pope being one of the most powerful men in Europe, now the Vatican was just stuck to this little area with barely any financial freedom, having to rely on a bunch of other foreign banks. So in 1942, Pope Pius VII established the Vatican Bank, which quickly became one of their most powerful assets and also the source of many of their modern problems. You see, as a church, the Vatican had unprecedented financial freedom, and as such, didn't have to disclose much about the comings and goings of their finances. After all, the Vatican State is completely immune to extradition, whilst also being able to dictate their own laws. That's why popes and bishops, who have committed heinous abuses across the world, can feel safe within the Vatican, where no other country can extradite them.
There's a bunch of people in there that the people would like to try.
Yeah.
They would like to pull them out of there and try them.
Can't do it.
For crimes against humanity.
Protected.
And because of this, they're able to hide a lot of their crimes up, and also their sources of income. And one income source they managed to hide for years was the money coming in from Hitler. You see, Hitler saw the advantage of having the Vatican as a potential ally. If he controlled the religious power of the world, he could control the hearts and minds of populations. So he would secretly donate funds to the church through Peter's pence, which were funds once sent to the Vatican by Anglo-Saxon kings as a gesture of solidarity and support. But as the Nazis' empire began to fall, they allegedly used the Vatican Bank to secretly transfer $598 million worth of gold to South America, and apparently the church even helped high-ranking Nazi officials escape justice, using the Vatican's own laws and extradition policies to facilitate this. And after this, they started realizing they could work around the world, using governments and their religious power, to create enormous sums of wealth, all without any foreign country being able to do anything against it. Soon after World War II ended, they realized there was huge value in investing in construction companies and profiting off the reconstruction of Europe. And in doing so, those running the Vatican Bank decided to get mixed in with the mafia. You see, because of how the bank operated, it didn't need to disclose its financial statements or activities to the public. While this would be fine if only civilians of the Vatican City could open accounts, many outside of the small country were also holding funds there, which meant they also couldn't be taxed, including government officials and of course the mob. It's a great place to deposit dirty, powerful money. Once Bernardino stepped down, he was then replaced by Cardinal Poole, who hired Michele Sindona, best known for helping the wealthy evade taxes and also working with the crime Gambino family, whilst also hiring Roberto Calvi, who made fortunes through other people's creations, and it's believed that these two men took advantage of the situation, using the Vatican to make them enormous amounts of money. And while things worked well for a few years, Sindona soon made one too many risky moves after taking over the Franklin National Bank. After a risky foreign trade exchange led to the bank losing millions, which happened after a series of grave missteps, Sindona was soon arrested. Calvi then bought out his former partner's assets, but Sindona wasn't going down without a fight, and dragged Calvi down by exposing his fraudulent schemes, forcing the latter to flee to London, where he was later killed. His body was then hung from a bridge and what could only be seen as a warning from the mafia. Sindona then died of cyanide poisoning 3 years later, and while the Vatican denied having a hand in either man's death and agreed to pay $244 million in a legal settlement, the damage was already done to their reputation. And this is when people started realizing that the Vatican wasn't just about religion. There was far more going on and far more shady power behind the surface. Congregations no longer even trusted how the Vatican was handling their money. And as a result, Catholics everywhere stopped contributing to the Vatican, leading to the church suffering a massive budget deficit between 1984 and 1985. After that, a new scandal involving the Vatican seemed to circulate the news every other year. If they weren't preventing the arrest of one of their archbishops in hopes that it would prevent further damage to their reputation, they were also dealing with corruption allegations, suffering from financial mismanagement, or poorly navigating a decades-long scandal involving their priests preying on the children they were supposed to be teaching. It was clear that people's love for the Vatican was quickly deteriorating, and as a result, many were rejecting their Catholic faith. However, after years of scandals, dodgy dealings, and secret operations, they would make a decision that sparked hope for their future, electing their new 266th Pope. By focusing on issues like poverty and the environment, with the Pope also going out of his way to make the church more inclusive, Pope Francis, as he now goes by, has been making some successful steps to restore people's faith in the Vatican.
Francis is changing the laws of the church now. The changes give women more roles at Mass, but the Vatican is still reserving priesthood only for men. The rule changes allow women to be lectors, read the gospel, and serve on the altar as Eucharistic ministers.
Whilst the Vatican is first and foremost the head of Catholicism, it operates as more than just a spiritual power. Despite all the controversy, it has more influence and power over the world than many people would ever expect. While the church's history with money is treacherous to say the least, it still gave them a massive advantage through capital, which they could then use to run their practices and teachings however they wished. As of 2023, it's reported the Vatican Bank has assets amounting to 5.38 billion euros, and these funds have enabled them to do some incredible things. One of the church's primary missions is providing aid to and looking after the poor and impoverished. Over the years, they've made a point for caring for the poor, not just in Italy, but around the world. Today, they've established over 139,000 schools, 5,500 hospitals, 10,000 orphanages, 18,000 clinics, and 16,000 homes for the elderly and those with special needs. And about 65% of these are located in developing countries. But even when the Vatican isn't personally assisting the poor, it is encouraging others to do so. Pope Francis has always urged the Catholic Church and world leaders to try to bring peace in these areas, especially emphasizing in West Africa. But how do they have the power to do all of this? Where is the real money coming from? First of all, it all started with massive donations and land grants. After all, the Catholic Church has been around almost 2,000 years, and the Vatican specifically started in 1929. As we mentioned before, going back centuries, wealthy rulers, families, and devout followers donated land, gold, and treasures to the church. Whether this be to secure a place in heaven, or for powerful interest groups to align themselves with the church's influence. But over time, these donations turned the Vatican into a significant player, not just in religion, but in politics and society. And today we can see some of the Vatican's wealth still in full display, like its giant real estate empire. The Vatican doesn't just have real estate in the Vatican City. The Vatican owns properties in prime locations worldwide, including major cities like London, Paris, and New York, as almost all of their wealth is in assets. These holdings range from high-end residential buildings to commercial spaces that generate millions in rent each year. Owning such real estate allows the Vatican to secure income from some of the most valuable land on the planet, and many of these properties have only increased in value over time. Then there's the Vatican's art collection. The church holds some of the most precious artworks in history, from Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel frescoes to masterpieces by Raphael. All of these assets are obviously priceless. There's almost no chance they'll be sold, and each year that passes, their collection is worth more and more billions. And because of these assets, every year, millions of tourists pay to see these treasures, making the Vatican's art and cultural assets not only a source of pride, but also a giant revenue stream. That and the fact that they have tons of wealth, tons of assets hidden away from the public, and even one of the biggest libraries in the world that almost nobody can access, makes you realize the Vatican's wealth is far more obscure than most people realize. Now, the church will claim that this enormous amount of wealth is just to support its mission work, but the Vatican's secret operations make it difficult to verify where all of this money really goes. And because the Vatican isn't obliged to disclose the full scope of its wealth to anyone, it makes it very difficult to ever pinpoint how much power it really has. Unlike companies or even governments, it doesn't have to show anyone anything. It's its own sovereign nation, and this lack of transparency has fueled plenty of speculation and conspiracy theories about its true wealth. And it also creates a lot of tension because while the church preaches humility and charity, its vast undisclosed wealth can seem at odds with those values, especially with the Pope saying that you shouldn't buy a nice car, and then instead you should think about feeding the poor. But then why does the church promote such a humble life and caring for the poor while sitting on billions in wealth? Couldn't some of these resources be used for broader social good? Well, this is exactly why the Vatican does everything in its power to play down its true wealth and power. While assets keep the Vatican running, it's their effect on the people where its true power reveals itself. Today, there are between 1.28 and 1.39 billion Catholics worldwide. Numbers like this could easily turn the tide of things like an election, especially if there's a high concentration of Catholics in one country. Almost all of Latin America, the US, Europe, Africa, the Vatican has the most spiritual power ever seen. However, the power of the Vatican extends further than just its followers. You see, the Vatican doesn't just have the power to influence the outcome of social issues. Its biggest strength lies in its choice to remain neutral no matter the circumstances. While this decision is often proven controversial later down the line, it is one of their best assets. This neutrality allows the Vatican to act as an unbiased mediator in situations that desperately need one, such as peace talks and negotiations between warring countries. Many of the world's most devastating conflicts were brought to an end thanks to the help of the Vatican. It certainly had a hand in the conclusion of both world wars, but while the Pope was only able to provide the skeleton of an agreement that would eventually become the Treaty of Versailles, Pope Pius was an instrumental voice between the Allies and the Nazis during World War II. But neither side felt that the Pope's efforts were enough, with the Allies believing that he still hadn't condemned the mass genocide of Jews harshly enough, and the Nazis feeling he sympathized with the Allies. Hilariously, this probably couldn't be a clearer indication of neutrality. Before World War II even began, Pope Pius helped draft the Anti-Nazi Encyclical, which was published in 1937, and his efforts after the war were praised by many world leaders. And this allows the Vatican to gain power and wealth from all countries. It can play both sides, it doesn't really matter. By being neutral, the Vatican's able to extend its power and wealth through playing the neutrality card. But most of the times today, these talks between countries are more just a facade than anything else, as the Vatican isn't there just to create peace. It's there to extend its power and its vast wealth. However, with as much power as the Vatican has, and even considering the shifts it's taken to better align itself with the stances of the modern world, its influence almost always seems to be on the brink of slipping through its fingers. Much of the younger generation today is resistant to the teachings shared by the Catholic Church, as they find them outdated and irrelevant or just feel judged by them. Or on the other hand, people are outraged by the Vatican, taking political stances on things that seem to go against the teachings of the Bible and traditional Catholic teachings. While Pope Francis has gone out of his way to make his teachings more inclusive, there is very little chance it's going to get very far with people who've been hurt by religion, all whilst ostracizing the rest who believe that the church should be traditional and stick to its original stances, being a strong Catholic conservative force. And at the same time, younger people really aren't forgiving of the scandals with children. It's almost a meme at this point that the Vatican is just this creepy place full of predators who can't be extradited. And whilst Pope Francis has made some moves to correct these mistakes, especially regarding the child abuse cases, many Catholics still feel that he's far too lenient with some members of the Vatican and has really failed to bring about any of the deserved justice. This, combined with his poor handling of politics and the Catholic stances in modern society, has caused the Vatican's recent uptick in popularity to completely drop.
You say Catholic priest, people think abuse.
100%.
It's a
instant
connection.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that they're all doing it. I'm sure most of them are absolutely
most
not.
Most of
doing
them
it.
Aren't, but a couple
most
put
of them
up,
are great people.
A couple of them are putting up some real numbers, some real molestation numbers.
Look at this. The Vatican revealed Tuesday that it, over the past decade, has defrocked 848 priests who raped or molested children and sanctioned another 2,572 with lesser penalties.
And worse yet is their inability to agree on certain issues. While non-Catholics might not like the Vatican, most can at least agree that their display of brotherhood and unity is commendable. One of the most prominent messages in the Catholic and Christian faith is love. Love for your brother, your family, your neighbor, your enemy. It's referenced almost everywhere in the Bible and was among the few things people respected and appreciated about Catholics. So when that unity began to crumble within itself following the establishment of some of Pope Francis's new policies, so did people's respect for the Vatican. A civil war has been brewing within the Vatican ever since Francis was made Pope. Many didn't agree with his policies, believing that he was more focused on pastoral matters than theological rigor, and was compromising on tradition. Whilst people have spoken up, the church still governed itself with its usual level of decorum. However, all hell broke loose following the death of Pope Benedict. In the ceremonies that followed Benedict's death, he was deprived of the honor of a ceremonial hearsay, instead being transported in a white van. Francis then only mentioned the former Pope's name once during the Requiem Mass held in his honor, and it seemed like the entire funeral lacked any real respect. It was handled so poorly, and many argued that the former Pope deserved much better than this. So in response, Benedict's private secretary landed a harsh blow against Pope Francis by rushing the publication of a book which revealed many criticisms Benedict had for his successor, including what he deemed to be a dangerously careless approach to teachings around sexuality and his restrictions on the use of the Latin Mass. It became a free-for-all, as cardinals who were previously maintaining maintaining their silence brought up their grievances with some of the Pope's other policies. Those outside the church found this breakdown of the ranks concerning and improper, citing that when someone took on the cardinal's cap, they agreed to support their Pope's decisions in public and save any criticisms for private meetings to keep a united front and avoid creating unnecessary confusion. And then Pope Francis only seemed to add fuel to the fire when he claimed his critics were exploiting his predecessor's death and deemed them unethical people who didn't belong in the church. And while things haven't completely fallen apart, it does seem like it's only a matter of time.